Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Technology Podcast. It is a Tuesday and my name is Tom Doherty, your host. As always, this broadcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. This week is a big one in the tech world. It is the WWDC going on right now, as that is the major developer conference for Apple, as they will be unveiling throughout the week, or throughout the conference at least, what we'll be seeing come the fall with the new iOS, what we're going to see with the new phones and everything that's comes has to do with software and what their developers will be doing. It's kind of the joke they make when they have this conference, is that it's the first time the developers have come out of their caves and are actually seeing the light of day, having to go to this event because they've been in their coding and in their houses or wherever they may be on their wired into their computers, creating these great features for us to use on the Apple devices. And actually in this first segment, actually, before we really go into the WWDC, what happened, we're actually going to go through what they didn't announce yesterday at the first day. So it's going to be what they didn't announce yesterday. So, there was a few different things. Obviously, they really wanted to come out and show what Siri can do, the changes to the AI and everything. I know we're still kind of waiting and seeing if Google and Amazon are going to get a kick in the teeth when it comes to the HomePod and the smart home devices. Whether we're going to see Apple really step it up on that, or is this going to kind of be what it's going to be, and they're going to really focus on the personal assistant on your phone, then that's kind of the way they want to go. That's the one thing that does remain to be seen, is whether Apple is really going to push forward with their HomePods and the advancement and trying to beat Amazon and Google at their own game, kind of thing like that we've seen them do time and time again with the iPhone and the AirPods and the Watch and everything. So let's go through some things. Actually, first, when we talk about the new iOS 12, they'll be coming out, obviously, around the end of the year. Usually around September, October, right, when they bring the phones out. So when it comes to this iOS 12, obviously, they weren't really going to go into the huge, all the different knick-knack presentations. I think they're going to go in that and do it when they have the bigger unveiling of the phone down later with the other conferences they have, or Macworld or whatever they're going to do down there in September. But as far as right now, we do know that they are going to be changing some stuff and allowing actually more of a third party when it comes to password autofills. I know there's already the Apple, when you come into the keychain, you can give it access to remembering your passwords, and you can autofill passwords for you. It looks like now that they actually are working with another third party password manager. This is one of them, is called 1Password, and they have a service now where it looks like you probably could just go in and put all your passwords in, and it'll automatically save them all for you. And as the iOS 12 will allow to allow the developers to gain to the new API that will give access to a third party password manager to autofill all your passwords. So that's pretty cool there. The thing with that is, yeah, so it's like every time, like, oh, do you want to remember this thing? Do you want to add it to your keychain? Do you want to add it to this? I mean, if you don't feel comfortable with the Apple keychain manager or whatever, Apple's integrated keychain to manage your passwords, you can always use another service now. There's now one thing that can kind of just, you know, go handle your passwords. Next one, an improved app switcher. So it looks like that obviously when you with the new phones, there's no home button, so you had to like switch a weird swipe up gesture. Obviously, when you had the button, if you have a phone with a button still, you just double click that button, and you can it'll pull up all your apps. But with this app switcher, it looks like that in the iOS, you don't need to wait. In iOS 12, you no longer need to press on the app card and wait for the X to appear. I mean, obviously, before you close, you just can swipe up. And we've kind of been seeing that when you close the when you're closing apps and everything like that. Obviously, if you on the iPhones, I think the new on the iPhone 10s, you have to actually click every X. I know in the old iPhones, you just can swipe up like you normally would, but then they're going back to that with the iPhone 10. On the new ones on the iOS 12, you can now actually have with this third with these more third party availability with these from these third party managers. You can actually. Just like when you autofill a password, you can now autofill one of those verification codes. So, I mean, if you got, like, if you guys are whether you're using a link keychain kind of thing, or you know, pass key to get into your email, or you forgot your password for Facebook or whatever it may be, whatever things. I mean, everything needs a password these days. And they actually, you know, they send you a code to put in. It looks like that now iOS 12 will be able to autofill those codes for you. Actually, so it's going to be able just to. Get it from, I mean, if they send you a text, it'll be able to go retrieve it from your messages and then put throw it right into that field so you don't have to go copy and paste or remember what the code is or retry and rescribe it back to the where I mean to that little field that you need to in order to get to the next part of your of what you need to do when recovering your password, whatever it may be, getting into the next the page as well. There's going to be on the iPad, obviously, when it comes to the home buttons, they're going to be going away on the iPad as well as like we've seen on the phones, which means we're going to see some new gestures on the iPad, obviously probably pretty similar to what we see on the iPhone 10. You're going to see that gesture-based navigation throughout the iPad, the new iPads that are coming out in iOS 12. It looks like the swipe up from the bottom of the screen, just like on the old phones. On the old phones, the iPhone 10s, the newest phone, we'll bring you back home and the swipe down, just like the just like on the 10 from the top corner, we'll give you the control panel, and so it looks like that they're getting rid of that iPad home button, just like they are with the phones, which means obviously iPads will be getting Face ID as well. With the animations, I know that they're going to be improving that. They've gotten a lot more stuff going with these developers. To try and get these animations to run faster, whether it's through the lock screen or opening the camera. Obviously, that's kind of things that we're seeing all problems with the phones. I know my phone, as it's kind of getting a little more aged, everything kind of, all the little movements to get from app to app, or when it opens up, like I said, opening the camera, it might take a little bit longer. Looks like that the keyboard will be popping up 50% faster, which, I mean, doesn't sound like that much, but I think it, actually people notice the difference. And then also Apple has come out and reported saying the apps, their apps were also are going to be launching up to twice as faster, even under a heavy load or heavy whatever. I mean, if you have a bunch of apps open or not, you can always just close them out. Like I said, just with a swipe, you can close them out and it'll make you faster. But we don't know though if the transitions are going to be any smoother, but it looks like the load up speed and the instantaneous opening is going to be something that we're noticing quickly here with these with the new operating system from Apple. Also, with the battery information, they're going to be coming out with a little more information, a little more for you, a little more information with the battery information for you. As obviously, iOS 11 does already kind of tell you a lot, but iOS 12 will also be giving you a battery usage chart that gives you a section by section a look at the last 24 hours or 10 days that you've been using and what apps have been using the most battery and everything, kind of, you know, giving you a better look on what to how to gauge your usage or if you're using an app too much. I know we're going to get into more stuff in the next segment regarding how they are trying to get you to use your phone less, actually. And we'll definitely be talking about that, like I said, next segment. So we'll leave it for that. Another one, we have another thing they didn't bring up quite at the WWDC is the new additions we're seeing from the Animojis. I know that was a big, it was kind of a little fatty, big, no, I wouldn't call it a big hit, honestly. I think they were trying to, they were thinking they were going to go over a little better than they thought, these Animojis. I know it was kind of a fad thing everybody, we'll see what everybody, what happens when everybody gets these, everybody ends up having the iPhone 10. You can have, everybody has the facial recognition and be able to make these emojis and everything, but, they are adding a wink feature. So now you not only can it understand what you're saying and talk back to you with the mouth moving, it'll wink back to you if you wink at it. So, it'll record your wink and put it out there on a message. So if you're talking as a monkey, it'll wink if you talked. I mean, it'll wink if you winked. Just it'll mimic you in that way, which is just funny that I had to throw that in there. I'm like looking through, I'm like, all these things they didn't announce. This is, of course, this is a very important thing, the winking from the emojis. Also, the AR scene reflection. Looks like through this AR kit too, it looks like that it's a pretty cool little form thing here. You're going to share files to other people to be able to look at an object from multiple vantage points in 3D. So that's pretty cool. Obviously, it didn't say how it's integrated into the physical surroundings, but it looks like that with the world around them, you can actually look at it from different vantage points when you share it out with multiple people. On the portrait mode, that's been improved on the iPhone, in iOS 12. I know with the iPhone 7 Plus first came out, it was like, oh, there's two cameras, and obviously we've now made that camera vertical instead of horizontal, but with the dual lens camera, it looks like there are going to be some new additions and improvements to that portrait mode, where now we're going to be being able to, I mean, you're not going to do it. It's going to do it by itself, pretty much. But what is happening is actually they're using layer masks and better technologies to literally select and separate the subject out of the foreground and kind of make it almost like it's two different images. And you're literally blurring out the background and separating and pulling forward that foreground image, so it looks really vivid in the front and it gives you that nice blur in the background, which is what kind of the whole point of the portrait mode is, as it'll look really nice and intelligently and elegant. Intelligently and elegantly, as Apple likes to put it, separating them from the scene. So that's pretty cool. And then lastly, I think this is the last one of the things they didn't announce. We're going to come back with things that they did announce in the next segment. But they're going to be improving the battery features. So, we talked about battery features, the password features. So like I said, the one password where it has your password for you, and it optimizes a new one for you every time you log in or something like that, whatever. I mean, one password has a couple different things, but not everybody wants to pay to have that kind of encryption. So it looks like that on the iOS 12, you can now automatically create passwords that are considered stronger or strong passwords and put them in your keychain, so you don't have to use the same password for everything. I know there's people out there who literally use the same password, and it's the simplest password, and they use it for every single, like, email, banking, social media, everything, Netflix, everything, and it's just not good. So I mean, what on this new feature, you can actually have it where it'll generate a strong password for you, and then you don't even have to know it. You know, it'll remember it for you every time anyways. So, you authenticate the user. But if somebody is trying to, like, you know, get access to your stuff from something else, they're never going to know. Because you don't even know. It's only the Google keychain. I mean, only the Apple keychain knows what your password is, because it generated a strong password for you. It'll probably tell you, but the whole point is for you to generate some password and then it puts it in your keychain, so you don't have to remember it anyways. But it is there as a protection, because there's nobody really going to figure out who it is anyway. So it looks like when it comes to reusing these passwords, it looks like it also flags you when you use multiple passwords reuse a password you've used within the last few times, which I think there's some sites that won't even let you use a password you've used within the last two or three times. If you change your password that many times, I know we have safeguards like that, but this is now a feature where it's all built in for you. Obviously where we're going now. There's all these third party things that we all could use. Like, I know Google has all these extensions and stuff like that. Apple's been really trying to integrate everything, and you know, they get these developer conferences going, and they're more and more transparent with their third party developers, or maybe giving them more leeway, giving them more of a leash when it comes to how much they're going to let them put in these phones or add to the iOS, kind of make it a part of Apple. But Apple is definitely trying to build everything in versus you having to go out and get something and add it on as like a plug-in or an add-on kind of thing. They're trying to build as much stuff into their iOS as possible to make your life easier for their all their consumers, which is nice. So we're going to come back and talk about more stuff from the WWDC and Apple, especially regarding Siri and some stuff regarding the new iOS 12 and all that good stuff like that, especially the stuff when it comes to monitoring your usage and trying to get you to go to bed. All right, we'll do that when we come back.
Want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, as we're now going to go through some stuff that actually was talked about during the conference yesterday in San Jose, as some of the bigger announcements was the fact that they are going to plan to release software next year in 2019 that allows all iPhone apps to run on your Mac computers. And I know that whether it's the whole idea with the fact that Mac is going bye-bye. I mean, yeah, everybody's like, okay, laptops are going out of town anyways. I mean, it's going to be a few years, but that's the kind of the direction we're going, where it's all about the tablets. And obviously Apple is really pushing the fact that these, their iPads are basically a laptop. I mean, you've probably seen the commercial with the girl on the iPad Pro doing all her homework and writing an essay and doing a PowerPoint presentation and everything. And, somebody's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, on my laptop. It's like, what's a laptop? Like, kind of, she's like, this isn't a laptop. This is everything. It has a keyboard and everything. So they're going away. Obviously, I think next time if I bought a laptop, I wouldn't buy a laptop. I'd buy an iPad Pro with the keyboard and the pencil probably, because it just is so much more functional. If I don't want to have to use my laptop as a actual keyboard, I could just take it off and use it as a tablet and write on it or whatever. And having to hold my laptop on my lap and everything. Anyway, so it looks like that obviously Apple, they're just like, you know, might as well, we're going to throw these iPhone apps on the Mac, make it a little more fun as it, I'm seeing reports all over the place. It's like, oh yeah, they're trying to put these iPhone apps on the Mac just to save the life of the laptop a little bit longer, even though it's not going to work. It's going to go bye-bye anyways. The smartphone is pretty much the future. Obviously, tablets are as well. But now we're seeing so much more being able to be done on the smartphones. I mean, these smartphones are basically like the laptops we had 10 years ago. They're the processors on them, the capabilities in them. I remember back when I didn't have my, I didn't even use a laptop my senior year in college. I had an iPad that I used as basically my laptop. And I've even written part of a paper on my phone. Not joking, like literally voice control. Dictated it into my phone, which was pretty interesting, having to go edit that. But yeah, this looks like that the fact that they've sold, I mean, Apple 12 times as many iPhones as Macs. 12 times. I mean, they sold a lot of phones and a lot of computers too, but 12 times as many. And obviously, the fact that they're putting these, is going to beg the question of, I mean, when they put these apps on the Macs, like, oh, are you just going to get rid of Mac OS? Or are we just doing iOS now? Or are you merging them? What's going on? They came out and definitively said, no, they're not merging them. But with this, I think they're going away from the, I know it used to be Mac. All the Mac OSs used to be like physical area, like they had Yosemite or Sierra and El Capitan. I don't know. I think the new one is going to be called something a bit different. But it looks like that you can use, like I said, you can use your iPhone apps on your Mac computers Also, I mean, it's going to be obviously trying to push people to maybe go on to Mac now, seeing that you can actually use your... I mean, I like that. I like that addition. If I still had a Mac, I would be cool because, I mean, basically any app you want onto your or not any app, but most apps that you have on your phone, because, I mean, that's the point. Like, instead of having to Google or go online and look up plane tickets or look up movie tickets or look up, tickets for anything, shows or games or whatever, you go on an app. If you want to look up, order something, you don't go www.amazon.com, you go on the Amazon app. If you want to go look up the score for your favorite team, you don't go to www.espn.com, you go to the ESPN app. You go, if you want to reserve a parking spot, you don't go to the website, you go to Parking Panda or whatever parking app you use. If you want to look for a job, you don't go to monster.com, you use the Monster app. You use Indeed app, you use LinkedIn app. It's all an app. All these websites now have apps. I mean, every store has an app. I mean, you don't go type in fun games to waste time on Google. You just download one on your phone. So whether they're trying to get people to be able to do that, that's the way it ended up just happening. People just ended up going that direction where it's all right in front of you. Like, I'm looking at my phone right now, all my apps on my phone. I don't have to go look up hotels.com. I just have an app for it. I don't have to go to MapQuest.com or Google Maps. It's right there on my phone. I don't have to go to Expedia. I don't have to go. I mean, you can look up your credit on an app with just fine. You can look up, I mean, anything. You could schedule tweets to go out. You don't have to. I mean, Twitter obviously has an app, but you don't have to. You think, okay, what if I want to put this tweet out tomorrow? There's Hootsuite, which is an app. I mean, everything, all these things, obviously, you have websites connected to them, but the fact that we're now getting these much more user-friendly, streamlined, mobile, I mean, the thing is, it's usually made for mobile, so it's all kind of compressed, obviously, for a smaller screen, and the fact that we're going to see that now, I think that's the first time we actually saw that on a computer, or at least I remember, on like a desktop or a PC or even like a Mac, is how they simplified doing your taxes. That's the first time I actually really saw this kind of like, you know, the simplified, most more refined kind of like quote unquote app style on a computer is when they made taxes a lot. I mean, they try to simplify you doing your tax returns and making it really easy, whether you're using TurboTax or H&R Block, whatever. That's the first time. So now we're trying, they took a little book out of that. It's like, you know, why don't we just do everything like that? Why don't we just have apps on our laptops? Just tell the developers to, instead of making it like a web-based thing, just make it all for quote-unquote mobile, but just make it for a bigger screen. I mean, you have iPad apps that are basically, I mean, that are going to fill up that entire iPad Pro, which is, I think, what, 14 or 13, 13.2 or 11.9 inches, which is basically, they have a MacBook Air this size, or MacBook, I don't know, MacBook now. You change the names of them so often, but they have them with the screens that size. They have them like that. I don't know why that's why you just stick an iPad Pro, hook it to a keyboard, and call it a day. But, you know, it's interesting now. They're trying to save a few more years on the old laptop by throwing these apps that we're so used to using now with our phones. I mean, you don't go to www.uber.com. You just use your Uber app. I mean, I don't even use a laptop. I don't go on a computer. I have, everything's a tablet. Your news. I mean, the only thing I would maybe go on YouTube. Now it works beautifully on the mobile. YouTube used to be a little sticky, a little funky on the phones. It was more actually better to go to YouTube.com. Now, nope. YouTube TV, YouTube Red, whatever you premium, music, whatever you want. All on your phone. We all talked about that. Whatever you want. All right. I do want to talk about some of these new features as more of them, as I did my rant on the fact that they're putting apps on the phone, on the computer. But I know that Apple, and people are thinking that they're going after Facebook and or going after Google, whatever. You think that, it's they should go after Facebook a little bit, because Apple has been the company that literally is the opposite of when it comes to data and like how they treat your data. And they treat it nicely. They're very nice to your data. They actually randomize it and anonymize it very efficiently. And like I've talked about before, when it comes to this, which is probably, I think also it's why their AI is in second or third place behind Google and Amazon, because they have all this data that they use to increase their AI capabilities. The iPhone doesn't really do, I mean, the Apple doesn't do that. They anonymize all this data. Like I've talked about before, they don't use individual data points to input into the algorithm for their AI. They use massive, like, you know, groups of trend, kind of, you know, quote unquote trends kind of things, where they use massive data pools of anonymized data, or I can't speak, but you know, it's anonymous data basically, that they use for this, for their AI stuff. And I mean, obviously they've always been a company that, really, really prides themselves in keeping their, users' data, safe. Obviously, they're going to do more and more stuff with that. We've even seen a function that has been in beta for a little bit now, where if you have your phone plugged into a USB port, whether it's plugged into a computer, or a lot of people are afraid they're going after the cop code breaker thing, where if you can't actually, it won't transfer any information through the Lightning cord. Whether it's if you plug into your computer, if the phone hasn't been unlocked within an hour. So if, you're trying to wipe it or something, or if you steal somebody's phone and they haven't unlocked it within an hour, you ain't going to get anything out of that phone. It's going to go, it's done. So that's something they've done for that. And I think people are like, oh, they did that so they don't have to, so the cops can't break into the iPhones anymore. I'm like, I think it's just to show that they, really don't want you to break into their, they don't want you to breach their, they don't want to breach the, your data, basically. No data breach. I know there was a big part of the WWDC conference was the privacy thing, something that Google totally did not talk about whatsoever. I know that there were different little snippets of what was talked about yesterday that people are like, okay, that was directly towards Facebook. Okay, that was directly towards Facebook. Obviously, with the news out that with all this news out stuff, Apple might be in a little bit of hot water. They, I mean, they're one of the platforms that Facebook is available on. So the fact that they're trying to be like, you know what, we're different, we're better, I'm not surprised here, as they will be, they're doing that. Obviously, they're coming out with some more all these more and more privacy stuff and social media and all these different things that are deemed a quote unquote shot across the bow at Facebook. That's just pretty interesting. The Facebook, obviously, they should think that. I mean, what's Apple going to do? Come out with a social media site? I don't know about that. I think Facebook, they're two different businesses. Obviously, they're both big tech giants, big businesses that have a lot of information on their servers and are responsible for a lot of information. But the fact that Apple comes out and goes, "Ha ha, we do our job better than you," is pretty funny. Because the problem and their developers was the fact that they allowed their developers to run wild, basically, and create things that are not savory. I mean, that's the one comparison. Apple does have apps, obviously. They have developers that create apps for them, and they allow them on their stores, and are probably vetted. And then Google also had, I mean, Facebook also had apps that was available, like games to play through Facebook, and they weren't vetted as well, and now they are. So maybe Apple's trying to push it, double down, like, you know, you really need to do it as even Tim Cook went on TV and said that his company would never do something that Facebook did, as he was quoted in saying, "We care about the user experience, and we're not going to traffic into your personal life." So, yeah, Mr. Cook does not really care about your personal life, and he thinks that it's a quote. I think it's an invasion of privacy of what Facebook did as well. So, which is interesting, obviously. Sheryl Sandberg has to come out and say that, and what she has to say, everything that's a COO of Facebook. But I mean, honestly, Facebook knows what they did, and they know what they did is wrong. But as far as, like I said, these new updates, I know I kind of just ran right over, but going to come back and do a little bit more talking about it in the third segment. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about E3 and the preview of that, some games coming out this year, E3, big gaming conference. So everybody stay tuned for that. We're going to come back, do some more talk on Apple and the WWDC, then do some E3 match that might leak over to the fourth segment as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast on a Tuesday here, week of the WWDC, which is the big developer conference down in San Jose for Apple, as they did announce a couple different things. Now you can start accessing more and more apps with Siri. I know Siri was only compatible with the a couple different apps, and different apps and everything that they have. And now we have some different Siri shortcuts that are going to be available down in September when you have the new iOS 12 come out, as the annual WWDC conferences come out. And as I said, obviously there's some updates with these Animojis. Now you can have a personal Animoji where it's called a Memoji, where it's like kind of like the same thing with the AR Samsung AR emoji, or the whether it means Snapchat, you can create your own little I think they call it hold on, I have to go check now because I'm completely blanking on what the it's called a Bitmoji. That's right, a Bitmoji. Now you got a Memoji. It's just all these different things now with Apple, as they have their Memoji coming out and that's all through obviously iMessage and everything. When it comes into the Siri shortcuts, that's what I really wanted to get to now, is the Siri shortcuts and how it's going to help you on your daily life. Obviously, now I kind of, you know, you think all with these home pods and everything, you pretty much can tell Alexa to do pretty much anything you want if you have all your stuff connected to your home and everything, or the Google Home, if you have the smart home and everything, you could tell, hey Google, turn off the lights, or hey Google, start the dishwasher, or whatever it might be. Looks like now with the Siri shortcuts, like I said, it has more of the compatibility with multiple apps. So like I said, there are different things when it comes to the simplest thing, as far as when you're in a movie theater, it'll remind you to turn off your ringer, or it'll remind you to call your mom on her birthday, or it'll text you a meeting. It'll give you a text you an optimization of your schedule if you're running late or something like that. And then also you can now try, you can now also tell Siri to do your order, or your usual order for coffee. I think whether it's through the Starbucks app or whatever they might do, you can there's different shortcuts for everything. I think they're trying to integrate this with the HomePod because it's obviously whether it's going to be running from the Apple Watch, iPad, iPhone, or the HomePod, you're going to want to talk to Siri and have these quick little shortcuts and quick commands, however you'd like. So it's going to be kind of like those skills you can teach Alexa, you can teach Siri, the same kind of things. There's different things such as find my keys, order groceries. You could tell Siri it's game time. There'll be different tons of different things you could download in addition to the to these shortcuts as well, and you can create some of them yourself too. So I mean, it's pretty cool. As we can go through some of the bigger features that they actually did announce during the WWDC. Obviously, iOS 12 is the big deal. It's going to be updated on all your phones and iPads by the end of the year here. another thing is the FaceTime groups. I didn't want to get to that. You can now FaceTime with 32 of your closest friends all at once. You can also put your, whether it's the do not disturb mode on, like I was actually going to get to this in a minute, but I did just see it. I want to talk on my notes. I'm like, do not disturb mode. You can actually set a lot of different apps on do not disturb, and it'll actually time you on how much time you're spending in each app. And especially with sleep stuff, you can set up sleep timer for different things as well. So I think I did read where you can set it on different apps and it'll actually tell you, like, okay, you're done with this app. Like, it's trying to get you to use your phone less, basically. And it's going to try and bring to the forefront how much time we spend on each app every day. I mean, I know I use probably, it's a reflex. Just every time I open my phone, check Twitter, check Instagram, boom. Just like, that's 20 minutes or 15 minutes right there. Yeah, every time up, not every time, but you know, it's interesting. Obviously, with these new things we see with these updates, it's pretty interesting to see what they were decided to do next. I think the hand emojis are a pretty big deal. Obviously, with the like I said, it'll wink at you. You can make your own Memoji and everything. Like I said, the group FaceTime up to 32 people to one FaceTime call, and you can also start a FaceTime with members from a existing group chat. So I mean, that's actually pretty cool. So if I say like me, I gotta have a group chat with like 10 people from school, and we could all literally start a FaceTime all at once, 10-way FaceTime if we want to. Obviously, you can do up to 32 people. You have a 32-way FaceTime. All right. Again, and obviously with that FaceTime feature, it looks like they're going to have little squares, and it'll be able to tell who's talking and enlarge their face on the screen based off who's talking, so you can focus on them. And you also, of course, you could throw your Memojis on there if you prefer somebody to look at your koala face or the Memoji you made with your little cowboy hat. you could do that as well. All right. With the certain notifications, I have to talk about that with the shortcuts feature. Obviously, it's going to be providing you information and then services throughout your day. Obviously, it's going to be able to tell you different reports, weather, ETAs. There was an example they gave during the conference, which was like it can give you a surf report. It'll give you the current weather. It'll tell you how long it takes to get to the beach, and it'll remind you to put on your sunscreen. That was what they used as an example during the conference. But obviously, it's just one of the many different things that we're going to be able to do and see. Especially as well as definitely the things on your schedule, obviously. So you can ask Siri, what are my travel plans? And you could say, all right, your hotel's here, and you could check in at this time. So it's really going to be telling you what you can and can't do and what you should and shouldn't be doing. Whether it's, I don't think it's going to just be assisting you in your life, basically. It's supposed to be a virtual assistant. That's the whole point. Well, you talk to it now and having it be more and more integrated to recognize your voice, to give you better responses. I mean, I don't know how many times I've asked Siri something. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that. So it's going to be less of that and more of, yes, here's what I can do. It looks like that they even have ways that if you tell Siri, hey, Siri, help me relax, it'll give you better ways to do that as well. So it'll give you like, you know, a little tutorial on what way to deep breaths or whatever it might be. Oh, yes. That's what it says. I'm like, how was I going to do the whole Find My Keys? I'm assuming that it had to be in a partnership or at least working with Tile, which is, of course, we know it. If you don't know what Tile is, it's a service that sells you these little tiles, the little they have chips in them that kind of they're GPS. So basically, if you have them connected to your keys, have one in your wallet, you can GPS and you can even play a sound for you. And, or you can tell Siri to find your keys, and it'll be able to find your keys with the Tile app. Obviously, you just press the button, and it'll do it for you. Also, like I said, it could be programmed to respond to things like order my coffee. I need to do that, honestly. That's going to be one thing for me. That's going to be ASAP. It's gonna be like, set my normal thing from Starbucks, the normal mobile order, and have it linked to Siri and be like, Siri, order my coffee. As I'm on the way to work every morning early to do these shows for you. As far as, like I said, there's that time, like I said, with the
what was it, the time checker? It's going to tell you, yeah, it's going to tell you the do not disturb. I know it's kind of all part of do not disturb, but it's also got the time check. Also, you can set time limits for apps, so you can help you use your phone less. Like what I was saying at the beginning of the show here, noting that, yeah, it's trying to get you to use your phone less. So with the time check, it's a new little function they'll have on the iOS 12. It'll be its own individual app. It'll have like a little hourglass thing. I think it's called Screen Time. And it'll give you it'll give you alerts saying 5 more minutes for Instagram today, 10 more minutes for Twitter or something like that, whatever you might be on. And you can set it to that on that Screen Time app. You can do it however you'd like. It'll be customized that time limit for you as you can ignore, obviously you can ignore it, but it'll tell you like, "Hey, you spent an hour." That's me. You spent an hour on Instagram today combined. What are you doing with your life? That's a 1/24th of, well, I mean, we're not awake all 24 hours, but say you're awake, I mean, at least 14 of those 24 hours, I mean, no, at least 16 of those 24 hours, or maybe even more. That's 1/16th of your time that you spent of your day on Instagram. And it'll also, like I said, that Screen Time app will keep track of every app that you're using, all the timing, and it'll even break it down by different production, social networking, entertainment, productivity, and total usage of your phone. It'll break it down by app as well. So, which is, I mean, that's can be pretty eye opening. So, I mean, well, it's definitely going to help you. Either it's going to help you or people. I know there's people out there who really will. This will, like I said, be eye opening, and they're going to put their phones down and everything. I don't know if I'm one of those people because I mean, it'll tell me. I'll be like, yeah, I suck. I know. I'm on my phone too much. Too bad. So sad. I'm on my phone a lot. So just deal with. Just kind of have to deal with it. But or if you're somebody that is conscious and all you need to do is be reminded, then you'll just be like, nope, put your phone down. It'll also keep track of the time. It'll also keep track of how many notifications you're getting. It'll calculate the average notifications you get every hour as well. So that's pretty cool. And also there's a new feature that it will help you eliminate that waste of time on social media. It's called downtime. It'll actually block certain apps between a certain period of time. So say you want to study for 2 hours or study for a certain amount of time, you can set your downtime for say 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And or if you're at dinner, if you don't want to have your phone, you won't be tempted, or literally you can click on an app. You can bundle all these apps together, whether it's social networking, games, or whatever. You can bundle them all together and click and select that umbrella term, and all those apps will not work. They'll block the apps during the downtime. Obviously, you can. It's not going to like no. It's not going to lock it in on you. You have to wait the whole hour, but it's just training. Basically, it's kind of training you to use your phone less and less. I did talk about the do not disturb thing. It's more now attached to your location. So if you have, like I said, another thing, if you're in a meeting, you're at dinner, on a date, whatever, maybe in a movie, you can actually set do not disturb to turn on or off whenever you're in a certain area. So it's pretty cool. You can choose a specific amount of time you want it, or you can go by based off of a location using your location services. So like it says, it's a movie. It was the example they used at the conference. And it says, oh, we detected you're using the movie. You have a movie ticket in your wallet. Do you want to turn on do not disturb while you're in this location? Until you leave this location? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Siri. Thank you. I do want to do that. Another thing is that the bedtime, obviously, with the do not disturb thing, that I think we've had the bedtime for a little bit here, where you set your bedtime, it'll actually count down, and it'll send you an alert when it's time to go to bed, and it'll set your phone to do not disturb, so you won't get any notifications in the morning until the morning time, where you can have all your stuff pop up on your phone like it would have overnight. Calls and notifications would be silenced until you wake up. So it's pretty cool. And all the other stuff will be sent into put into your history. I mean, I get, only thing I get notifications from in the middle of the night are like things that happen in Europe, like soccer stuff or whatever. And then also there. This is when I did star a little bit. I wanted. This is pretty cool. We might have to come back and talk about it on the other side of the
break in a little bit. So we're actually, we're going to take the break really quick, and we're going to come back. This really cool feature, there's actually a few more of them that I want to go through from the WWDC that happened yesterday. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back, GSMC Technology Podcast. Okay, this is part of the new update that is not the biggest thing, like techie tech thing, or it is, depending on how what you think. I think it's awesome because I don't like measuring things. I don't like tape measures. I don't like any of that. So now there's a measuring app that's going to be available with iOS 12 where you can no longer need a measuring stick, and you can actually use your iPhone camera to measure things, real life objects, whether they be three dimensional or, most things are three dimensional, obviously, and even a piece of paper, but or thinner, thin, thick, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. And you can measure different things based off the dimensions. It'll show up on your screen and it'll give you an easily to understand little picture and visualization of what you're doing here. So the example they used, they had a suitcase or what, like some sort of trunk, and it was a rectangle cube, cubic rectangle, and they were able to give you the height, width, and length of it as well. So it's pretty cool what they're doing there. Just with your phone camera, you're not going to need to use a measuring tape, pretty much. I mean, unless you don't trust stuff like that, which, I mean, some people might take a little bit to do it and see how accurate it is. You can also use the measuring app, like I said, for 2D objects. You can measure, like, pictures or something like that, whether it's on a piece of paper. You can center things and such. So if you have a picture of something, you can measure how big the frame, like, you know, how big the actual picture is versus the matting or whatever. So you want to fit it in a frame as well, like I said. I'm like, most things are 3D. There's some 2D things, and it'll measure that for you as well. All right. As we continue looking up here at these these are all, I think they kind of did obviously go, I think they went a little too deep into the fact that this Animoji thing is a big deal. I know it's a big deal, but they have... so many more things. I think the whole first half of the show, I went over things that we didn't have, they didn't actually announce. But then, of course, I go through and do like 20 more things that they actually did announce, which is crazy. So we're going to come back. I did want to, there's a couple more things I wanted to go over regarding stuff that they announced yesterday before I do quickly go and talk about the E3 preview. I don't want to say too much about it. I'm just saying the measuring app, and then that was that it on the measuring app. That one I'm going to use. I'm going to use that thing a lot. Honestly, I don't know why. I don't need to measure that much stuff, but I feel like I would use that thing a lot. All right, quickly into the E3. E3, as there obviously is a big deal coming out, that is a big deal happening next week. It's the biggest week in games, as we're going to be seeing all sorts of stuff. Obviously, major games that are going to be, that have been announced within the last month: Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Battlefield 5, Rage 2, Fallout 76, Pokemon Let's Go, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I mean, those are all major blockbuster games that are all going to be talked about during that E3 conference. I think we're going to have some stuff from Sony, some stuff from Microsoft as well, that are going to be coming out. As far as, obviously, we knew that Star Wars Battlefront 2 and the Destiny, Far Cry 5, Destiny 2, like I said, that was last year. Some things that came out, obviously, they obviously talked about the iPhone, uh, the i iPhone, the Xbox One X, and everything is that's how big it was last year. This year it's going to be even bigger. I don't know if we're going to be seeing the kind of consoles that we saw, but as far as these games that we're going to be seeing, it is going to be pretty cool. As we're seeing all these different gaming trailers or stuff like that. We got a first look. We're going to get a first look at the Avengers game. Whether it's I know they used the same kind of developers from Rise of the Tomb Raider and from Deus Ex Mankind Divided. So we're going to get probably the similar kind of gameplay there for those ones. But it's obviously creating this game after Infinity Wars comes out. And they're using that branding, obviously, to push that one. As far as the Xbox names, Halo is a big thing. Gears of War and Forza all are due for releases. Obviously, Halo 6 has been something that we talked about a little bit on the show. As far as what we're going to be hearing from E3, there's been rumors surrounding it all. Whether we're going to hear about it during the conference it still remains to be seen. But that's definitely something that we're likely going to see. Obviously, Microsoft. Whether they have anything to show, Sea of Thieves was a good little direction for them as they, going with this whole that free to download everything kind of thing with like we're seeing with Fortnite and Players Unknown Battlegrounds. Microsoft does Sea of Thieves, which they bundled with all of their new, or most they did. That was like the most pushed bundle that they included that game with all the new Xbox One X's or S's. I think it was Sea of Thieves or. I think that was one of the only big ones they did, so that was a good idea there for them. But it looks like that getting it back into their old bag of tricks, I think, would not be a bad idea. As we haven't seen a Gears of War, haven't seen a Forza, and haven't seen a Halo for quite some time. I think they're due. We're due for some throwback familiar faces from Microsoft because those were darn good games. We're also going to see if there's a little battle going on between. I mean, there's Battlefront. And then, obviously, which is EA's thing, and obviously we have a Battlefield 5 as well. But it looks like there's another game called Anthem. It's a sci-fi shooter as well, the online shooter that's going to be developed by BioWare, same one that did Mass Effect, and obviously. With the struggles that we've seen I think Destiny 2, I don't think was ever really destined to, Destiny 2 was never destined to really get off the ground. And it is struggling now. We're looking to see if Anthem can fill the gap there as looks like EA will try to, obviously they're trying to battle that. EA has always been that big bad wolf when it comes to the gaming developing. They are pretty much, their hands are in every single slice of the pie, whether it's sports or they're trying to reboot this Battlefront franchise, which they've done. I mean, the first one is out and it's been out. They've come out with another one and it's been out. And I don't think it was quite the hype they really wanted to get, but they've sold enough. And looks like the EA is trying to do this with Anthem as they are a little more player-friendly experience with this game. Obviously, it won't be stopping when it comes to Battlefield 5, though. They are rolling with that guy hard there. So that's what we have to expect, honestly. When all these stuff comes to fruition and we actually get some reports and we actually get some announcements regarding games that are going to be coming out, then we can start really talking about what to expect from these games. Obviously, we already know what the Black Ops 4 is going to be coming out. We're going to see, I think, you can't think that Call of Duty isn't going to impress with that game. I mean, the Black Ops series we've gone from Modern Warfare to Advanced Warfare to, I mean, soon we're going to get a cyber warfare game where we're just going to be coding on our Xboxes. But no, with these Black Ops games, you can't only expect good greatness. I mean, everybody can get in their little tit for tat kind of things. Oh, I didn't like this. I didn't like that. Oh, that wasn't great or whatever. Oh, that house didn't blow up or that zombie wasn't accurate or whatever it was. You can come up with it. But usually these games are world-class games. And the fact that we saw an NBA player wear like a hat that could have been the logo for this game, and then it was like, oh my God, they're coming out with Black Ops 4. James Harden wore the Black Ops 4 hat. And then, of course, yes, they announced we're going to be seeing Black Ops 4 coming out this year. So I'm thinking I'm most excited for that one. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to be pretty cool. I've had fun playing those Assassin's Creed games in the past. But I think that Battlefield 5 is really going to be that Battlefield 5 versus Black Ops 4 kind of thing. If the thing with Call of Duty is they have two different franchises, Battlefield only the one. Call of Duty, the fact that they have two different franchises, you have your Battlefield, you have your Battlefield fans, then you have your Black Ops fans, and then you have your Modern Warfare fans or your Advanced Warfare fans or people who do both. So I know there's going to be plenty of people out there who are like, oh, I need to pre-order everything. And then we have, of course, Pokemon. We're going to see Pokemon Let's Go is going to be on the... I think that... Is that the one that's going to be on the Switch? I know that that we're going to see the first Pokemon game with the Switch. So it's going to be pretty cool as they're... With the other, this is considered the other Pokemon game. Obviously, we have the free-to-play Pokemon Quest, which is available on Switch. But now that's kind of like it's kind of like a Pokemon Go, but just a little spin-off kind of thing not on your phone. And then we have Pokemon Let's Go that will be coming to the platform in November. And that's going to be obviously on your Switch, which is pretty cool. And you got to give Nintendo credit. They have not lost a beat, basically. They've not missed a beat. I mean, you have these people like basically my age who grew up watching Pokemon playing on their DSs or Game Boys or Colors and then 3DSs all the way up. You come out with Pokemon Go, you re-get everybody back into the franchise, and now you have Nintendo come out with this Switch, and you're like, oh, perfect. We rebooted our franchise out of the ashes, seemingly. Well, I don't think out of the ashes. People are always into Pokemon. But, back into the forefront of just everything pop culture. And then now we have this beautiful new console that sold exceptionally well, the Nintendo Switch, and a lot of people have it. And now we're going to come out with this new game as the Pokemon game obviously was revealed. Obviously, they revealed a little bit here and there. It's not quite Nintendo. Nintendo revealed the Switch last year, but with the Pokemon game, we haven't heard anything about it since 2017, so we're going to be getting a cool look at when it comes to this E3, and we're going to get some real details as it's going to be aimed towards the younger fans, we've heard, but you never know. there's people out there who are going to play games for whatever reason, as they like the franchise, like the characters, they're going to go try out the game, and Pokemon will get their money for it. There's another game, Metroid Prime 4 is coming out. Also, it's going to be... it was in the works for the Switch. And then we got... all we got was the name and logo, obviously, during the E3 last year. It will be the focus of last year. But, I mean, obviously now we have Super Smash Bros. And everything. Of course, when a Mario thing comes out, we got to hold the phone for everything. But this Prime game will look like it possibly gives a Metroid Prime 4. It looks like probably we can get a 2019... launch window when it comes to that guy there. That one is something that we're going to still have to wait for here. A couple other games. We have a racing game, Star Fox, as a series. There's been some rumors coming out. Star Fox Grand Prix in the works also for the Switch, as we're going to be getting more and more things. Obviously, the Switch is going to be crazy. I think we're going to be getting all these RPGs on the Switch as well it becomes increasingly a bigger competitor for the Xbox and the PlayStation. All right. That'll wrap it up for the show today. Just going to go over what we talked about. We did a lot of things. I wanted to get a little bit to laptops. I know that Intel has come out with some major advancements when it comes to their chips. So everybody go look up what Intel's been doing. We'll probably get to that also on Thursday. We have more and more. We always have another thing to talk about on this GSMC technology podcast. But we have reached the end of the line here. Today we did go over the WWDC down in San Jose yesterday. Talked about all the new things we're going to be seeing from the Apple iPhone and what you can be doing on your iPads and on your MacBooks. You would have your iPad, Apple apps on your MacBook now. Whether they're trying to save people from going away, or I don't think they're really worried about it, since they have the alternative. If you're not going to buy a $2,000 Mac, you can go buy the $1,500 iPad. I mean, I don't think Apple really is worried about it. But they've come out with some pretty cool stuff, whether it's some improvements to Siri, new meme emojis, and improvements to the Animoji, and then also you can have a 32-way phone call, FaceTime call as well. So when that all is updated down in September, when we are available to download, everybody will get their alerts, I'm sure, saying iOS 12 is here. You can upload it now. Do your however long it takes your phone to do it. I don't know what the deal is as far as the compatibility with some of the older phones, if they're going to be trying to get people to be pushed to buy new phones. That still remains to be seen, but we'll probably be here to talk about it right along with you. So we'll see everybody on Thursday. We'll be back for some more technology news. Until then, I'm Tom Doherty. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.